Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 10th, the year of our Lord, 2026. And this is the sixth Sunday of Easter. Continued Easter blessings be upon you. And also I want to say happy Mother's Day to everyone. To the sons and daughters and the moms out there and those who have been mothers to many. A very heartfelt blessing be upon you, and a special happy Mother's Day to my mom, Jane, the best mom in the whole world. So with that, let's just jump right in to what we do and how we do it. We always begin the podcast in a spirit of thanksgiving. And so we begin that practice by breathing, by taking in the gift and breath of life. So let's do that together. Take in a big, deep breath. And I want you to hold on to it. Don't just hold it. Savor it. Let it go. Let's do that again. A big breath. Take it in and hold on to it. It's a beautiful gift, the gift of life, the opportunity to be together. And as you breathe in and as you exhale, call to mind the people and the places and the situations that fill you with joy. See their faces, see the places. Imagine the opportunities. With these things in mind, give thanks to God for all of it. It's all a gift. In this posture, in this spirit, let's begin together in worship.
Call to worship. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, for he has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. Though we have been tested and refined, God has brought us into a place of abundance. Come and hear, all who fear God. Let us declare what he has done for us. When we cried out to him, he listened. His steadfast love has not been turned away. Today's scripture reading comes from John 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them.
Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we call out to you in this moment and we give you thanks for the gift of this, your good and living word that abides with us, focuses our attention on you, who you are, all you have done, how much you love us. And so we come to this moment of reflection, and we ask for your help. We pray, O God, that you will save us. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction. And help us to hear, to truly hear what you are saying to us, all of us, through this, your good and living word. We pray this in your holy name and we say, Amen. Well, friends, here on the sixth Sunday of Easter, we continue on reading from the 14th chapter of John, verses 15 through 21. This section of scripture that begins a portion of John's gospel, commonly referred to as the farewell discourse. Jesus at his pastoral best, teaching and showing his love for them, giving them the encouragement to carry on because he knows tomorrow crucifixion awaits him and it will shake these beloved brothers of his. And so he is preparing them, reminding them of everything they've done and seen and heard in their 3 years of ministry together. How they are stronger than they know. So let's jump into the text. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let's pause there. Keep my commandments. What are the commandments of Jesus? Foundationally, primarily, they are to love. In Matthew's gospel, in the 22nd chapter, he refers to the Shema, to love the Lord your God with everything that you are, heart, soul, mind, the entirety of your life, focused on the love of God, a living love, and that love is to be shared with others, with neighbors, and of self. Just prior to this chapter, in the 13th chapter of John, he encourages them to love as he has loved. Remember what I've said and say it. Remember what I've done and do it. Keep the commandments. Don't hold them in your clenched fists. Be stewards of them. Tend to them. Practice them. Live them. And as you do that, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Let's pause again. He gives them the commandment, which can feel awfully hard to keep sometimes. And he promises them help. I'll give you an advocate. I'll give you a paraclete. I'll give you a helper. You will not be doing this on your own. Will we physically walk the road ahead together? No. And it has to be this way. Because in my absence, you will learn something about who I am and who you are and the power of keeping these commandments. And it's not help just for a day or just for a moment. It's help forever. An advocate to be with you forever. This spirit of truth, verse 17, this spirit of truth, this is the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. So by living and stewarding and keeping the commandment to fully love, St. Thomas Aquinas is quoted as saying this about love, that to love is to will the good of the other. And I'll expand on that, God help me. to will the good of the other to the glory of God. That our capacity to love is because we have an advocate who aligns us, puts us in community with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This love lives with us, abides in us, and gives us the capacity to love. And so we're not alone. As he says, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. And giving them yet another hint of what is to come, he says in verse 19, in a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. If you keep my commandments, if you soften, continue to keep these soft hearts full of wonder and awe and courage and strength, if you keep them, tend to them, steward them, share them, the help and love and the wisdom of Spirit of Truth will be with you, will abide with you, will live in you. And you will know that you are not alone. You're not orphaned. I'm coming to you. Because tomorrow I will be gone from the world's sight. Those who will gather and mock and deride and jeer, those who will celebrate my death and stuff me into a borrowed tomb, they will think that they are rid of me. They will not see me, but you will see me. And indeed, he keeps that promise. As John tells us that in the evening of the first day of the week, Easter Sunday, when they've experienced the horror of Good Friday and the deep, deep grief and fear of the Saturday afterwards, then the new day dawns on Sunday morning and they hear the news that he is not dead, he is alive, he does come to them, John tells us. Jesus keeps this promise. They're locked away with fear. They're just hanging on. And in he steps. And he breathes out his peace. And they take it in. And they live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father. And you and me and I in you, he has come back. He is in them. In these Sundays of Easter, while we always celebrate as a resurrection people, we draw close with the 12, eventually the 11, and we consider the stories, and we do what they did. Do you remember what he said? Do you remember what he did? Do you see how he showed love? He has returned. He is in us. And this bit of encouragement in the 21st verse, they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Starting in that little room and then spreading out into the world. Love is a hard thing to articulate. We know the emotions of love. and we know the actions of love. But I hear Jesus telling them and telling us that love is those things, but its source is a place. It's like a house that we live in love. We live in a place of love. It's our home. It's the place where we seek comfort and refuge and encouragement, where we're encouraged in wonder and awe. And we can think clearly because the Spirit of truth is in us. We can really hear Aquinas when he says that to love is to will the good of the other. And we experience that when we, if you will, kind of walk out of our house of love and engage the world. And we meet people who's, for whatever variety of reasons, because what life has brought their way, they can't see it. They can't recognize it. They haven't perhaps experienced it. And so because we find our shelter and we are nurtured by living in the house of love, accompanied by our advocate, our help, and prompted and encouraged by the words of Christ and the example of those who have gone before us, we can speak words of love. We can act lovingly. We find the absolute peace that there is in giving, not taking, because we love and are loved by a God who gives love. And so my hope on this day for all of us is that we'll take stock of where we live. We're all blessed to live in a house of love. And if there are things that don't belong in the house, that we best get rid of them. Cast them out of the house. And we'll be given the courage and strength to do so. And we'll be given the courage and the strength, and again, the words and the actions that we know don't come from our natural lives. We have an advocate. We have a helper. The one to lift us up. To open our eyes and our ears and our mouths and our hands. To share this good news with the world. That Jesus is alive and he is with us. Good news indeed, to which we can say, Amen. And so we pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, present with us through the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit, we call out to you and we pray. And we are well aware, O God, that there are things in our lives, in our house of love, that do not fit, that should not abide. Our sin. You know these things better than we do. But we name them before you. We confess them to you. We seek with your help to repent of them. And we ask for your forgiveness, the promise of your grace and your peace. We call to you, Lord, and we pray over this, your good world, that we could invite everyone into the house of love. We could show them the way with your help. We pray for people in positions of power and influence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for friends and neighbors, people who are strangers to us but are well known to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And God, you know the prayers that we hold in our hearts. Sometimes we write them down in a list. And sometimes they look more like worries, but we pray that you'll help us to convert them to prayer. These things that are beyond our control, the people that we love, the situations, you know these things, you know this list. And so we take a moment to trust you with our prayer lists, to hand them to you, and to sit quietly in your presence. We break our silence. We thank you for your presence in the midst of peace and quiet. We pray that you will hear us as we celebrate a prayer that we have inherited as a gift. Hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so keenly aware of the love of God that is in us. Our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.